Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. So excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us, worshiping God and praising His name. If I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. You know, we're one church in four locations, so you have cousins in three different locations also praising God and worshiping Him. And listen, we're just one local expression of the church here in White Oak, and I love it. But if I was in Brighton Heights or North Braddock or Murraysville, I'd love it there too, just to let you know. I wouldn't feel like I was cheating, but I love being here. How y'all doing this morning? Good?
Great.
Somebody said great. I like that. I'm doing excellent because we get to continue our series today entitled He Is. And the main goal of this series is that we help you define who Jesus is to you. Who is He to you? Not who is He to me or to the pastors of the church, or who does Bridge City Church say that He is? Who is He to you? When you walk out of this place, who do you say that He is? Personally, you need to be able to define Jesus personally. We want you to have a personal experience with Jesus. And that's the goal of today. You know, Palm Sunday's today. I know some of you are like, I didn't get any palms as I came in. You know, they're all gone. We ran out. I'm just kidding. But listen, it marks the day that begins Holy Week, as Jesus began His trek to the cross. And this is a big week, and we're going to talk about that a lot today. This is the week that leads up to the culmination of our faith, the Super Bowl, if you will, of our faith, Resurrection Sunday. And we have a great opportunity this week to invite people. And we're inviting them, obviously, to Resurrection Sunday, to Easter Sunday. And then we're believing that they're going to attend every week thereafter. And you get to be a part of what they hear every week after that. You excited about that?
Yep.
Here's how you get to be a part. You get to decide what the preaching's going to be on. Because you get to ask questions. And I know you all have questions because my phone gets them in the form of text messages and emails, and I get carrier pigeons and smoke signals and all of these things. But now you get to ask questions to all of the campus pastors and the elders and all of us, and you get to form the messages. All by sending a text or through email through that wonderful QR code in the corner. If you don't know how to use the QR code, hand your phone to somebody younger or more technologically advanced next to you. And you get to ask the questions. And listen, there's no such thing as a dumb question except for an unasked one. If the question's important to you, it's important. If you want to know, ask it. We might not get to every question, but you'll be surprised. You'll be amazed that these questions are going to form a theme. And a lot of them are going to be related. And listen, we're not going to give you our opinions. We're not going to give you what we think. We're going to give you what the Bible says. And you may think, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about what I'm going to ask. You'd be surprised. When you dig in, God has spoke about a lot. And He's answered all of your questions. And we're going to talk about them the weeks after Easter. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You so much for Your truth. Thank you that today we get to prepare for Holy Week. We get to prepare for the mission that you've set before us to share who you are with the world around us. Lord, thank you that today we get to reassure the confidence of who you are to us personally, so that we can take that outside of these walls and share it with the world around us. Lord, use this time. We submit the remainder of our time to you. Have your way. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Resurrection Sunday, 1 week away. Who's excited? Yeah? Easter Sunday, ham, macaroni and cheese, holy eggs, right? They're not deviled eggs, they're holy eggs. Those little delicacies. Take so much time to make. Paprika right on top. Do yourself a favor, buy the smoked paprika. It's important. Don't buy the regular paprika. Y'all know what paprika is? Do you know what it is?
Yes.
It's dried roasted red peppers. Did you know that? Huh. Schooled you a little bit today. It is. And then, if you buy the smoked, it actually has flavor. It's not just a decoration on top. Changed your life. You know, Sarah's doesn't have jelly beans this year. Oh, I don't like jelly beans anyways, except for the Starburst ones. They converted me. Hallelujah. Those gave one of my friends gout 1 year. Yeah. He's in the back. He's raising his hand. There he is. Yeah. The king's disease. He was a king that year. Couldn't move his ankle. All right, here we go. Easter's more than that. It's not just new pastel outfits and new shoes and cute family photos. It's more than that. It's more than just tradition. It's more than just getting dressed up and coming to church because that's what you've always done. But you know what? It's more than that to you because you've experienced Jesus. To so many, that's still what Easter is. Easter's just about baskets and fake grass and eggs. They still call them deviled. They're still using regular paprika. Still eating dried ham and not good lamb. It's not about Jesus. We have an opportunity to change that for people. Because they're stuck in tradition and they're looking for a place and you get to invite them. We'll talk about that more. Then we have Good Friday coming up before we get to celebrate the resurrection. This is for us to ground us, to help us remember what Jesus did on the cross. It's a sobering moment. We still ourselves and remember what he did. The sacrifice that was made, the blood that was shed, the pain that was went through for you and for me, and for those that don't even know yet. It's a sobering moment to know that people gambled for his life. Pennies. Before we come together at 5 p.m. and 7, there's an exhibit that you get to walk through that show you the things that led up to the cross. Our creative team has put it together. It opens at 4 for you to walk through as a family, for you to invite your friends to, so that people can experience all the aspects that led up to the cross. To make it real for people. And then, Resurrection Sunday. It's our true north. When you're lost, you use a compass, right? I'm sorry. When you're lost, you use your iPhone. Some of you, your Android. Some of you are old school. You still have a map. You know how to use it. Bless you. Thank you for the old school people that still know how to use a map. Or even know how to use a compass that doesn't need charged. But Resurrection Sunday is our true north. In times of uncertainty, in the fog, in the rain, when you can't see straight, you need to have a true north. You need to know where you're headed. You need to have an item that you're fixed upon. A fixed object. In times of darkness and despair and distress, you need a fixed point that you're headed towards. That guides you, that leads you. Today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that demonstrates how Jesus is that fixed point for us. He's our true north. Even when we find ourselves questioning who He is, He can be that fixed point that we're looking towards. Listen, the whole world around us can be stopping and questioning and doubting and be confused. Question everything. Could even be questioning Him. Is He the one? Is He who He says He is? Let us be the people that point to Him and say, yep, He is. Let us be the ones with confident assurance, yes, He is. And I'm going to give you three words to say after that. You ready for it? So I'm going to go through some ground rules. Some of you never heard me preach before. Usually when I ask a question, it's just common courtesy. I just sometimes like an answer. Just sometimes. What do you think? Okay. So, are you ready for the three words that would come after that?
Yes.
Oh, my heart overflowing. Here we go. John 1, 35 through 39. As Jesus walked by, who was walking?
Jesus.
There He is. Jesus. John looked at Him and he declared, look, there's the Lamb of God. Jesus was walking by and John said, look, there He is. And John's two disciples heard this as they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. He said, what do you want? What do you guys want? He asked them and they replied, Rabbi, which means teacher. Hey, where are you staying? And He said, come and see. Jesus, the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. Just so open. He didn't want to be in hiding. He wanted to be found. He wants to be found. Even still today, He wants to be found. It's not hard. He's not hiding from people. Simple question. Hey, where are you staying at? I know I add a little Pittsburgh ease to it. I do it on purpose, guys. I make it relatable. I don't speak in Pittsburgh ease all the time. I do it on purpose for you all. I'm sorry, for yin's guys. If I was in Philly, I'd say use. It's relatable. Hey, where are you staying at? G yet? And He said, come and see. Simple question, simple answer. He didn't make it confusing. He wanted to be found. John had one job, point to Jesus. He did it. They asked. He answered. They followed. Look, there He is. The first words about Jesus in the gospel weren't teacher. It was lamb. It's all about him being the Savior. And it's what we all really need. We all need a Savior. Look, there's the Lamb. Look, there's the Savior. Verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard that John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother, Simon, who told him, "We found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you be called Cephas," which means Peter. Messiah, the promised deliverer. Jesus begins his work of transformation right away. He doesn't wait. He doesn't take a few days. He doesn't pause. He doesn't say, "Oh, let's just wait until they feel comfortable." Right away, transformation happens. Listen, when we invite people in, when people experience Jesus, when they meet him, when they see him, transformation starts. It happened here. Then Philip meets Jesus and becomes a follower. And he goes and tells Nathanael. Do we see a theme here? Come and see for yourself. John 1:46. What's the theme? It seems to me that when someone meets Jesus, they go and tell somebody else, and then someone else meets Jesus, and then they go and tell somebody else, and then guess what happens? Someone else meets Jesus. It works. All from three words. Come and see. It's crazy. All because someone said, "Hey, where are you staying at? Come and see." Jesus didn't say, "Well, you see, I'm currently staying at a nice little bed and breakfast. The food's wonderful. Well, the toast was a little burnt." No. Come and see. Come spend time with me. Be around me. Follow me. If you say to somebody that asks you, "Hey, where do you go to church?" and you respond with, "Come and see," and their response is, "Nah, I don't like religious people." Or, "I don't like those people." Or, "I really don't like organized religion." Do you know what that is? That is literally the biggest softball set up on a tee, ready for you to go. That didn't work as good as I wanted to. You know why? Because you get to say, "Great, there's not a religious person at my church." As a matter of fact, Jesus came to abolish religion. Oh, you don't say. Yeah, come and see. "I don't like those people." "What people are you talking about?" "Oh, you know, those people." "Oh, well, great. We don't have any of those people. Come and see." "I don't like those uppity people." "Well, we got rid of those years ago. Come and see." "I don't like people that think it's all perfect." "Well, once you get there, it won't be perfect anymore. So come and see." It's literally a softball on a tee. Or whatever sport you like. You like soccer? Fine. Or whatever sport you don't like. Or if you like shopping, it's a something on a sale rack. It's a handful of Kohl's cash. That's a scam, by the way. Seriously, church, when people doubt, tell them, come and see and get past your perspective and come and get your own objective data. Come and see. Get past your preconceived ideas and come and get your own. Get past what somebody might have told you and come and get your own ideas, your own perspective. Come and see. This Easter, let's make it a come and see event. Jesus, the magnificent on display. You want to know how I invite people to church? I don't say, hey, listen, I'm the pastor of this church. You should come see. I try to hide as long as I possibly can that I'm a pastor. You want to know why? I don't want people to treat me differently. I don't want them to feel awkward and stop being who they are and try to be somebody different. I want them to be who they are and then find out and realize that they can be who they are around me. And then I want them to feel comfortable to come to church. And they can see that I am the same way here as I am at the gym, as I am at a restaurant, as I am at the grocery store, as I am at home, as I am riding my bike, as I am in my neighborhood. And they could say, wow, that place isn't full of a bunch of hypocrites as I thought it was going to be. People that say they are one way and they're different another way. Get into people's lives and then invite them. Or just step out in faith and just do it. Have a conversation with somebody. You'll be amazed at what happens. Amazed. It's a little easier for me in grocery stores because people stop me. Because the world's full of shorter people that need stuff off top shelves. So it's just, I just walk around grocery stores and I get stopped 4 or 5 times. Other people in here know what it's like. But if you're a shorter person, just walk around, look for a tall person and stop them. Hey, can you get this off top shelf? Hey, wait, looking for anywhere to go on Easter? I'm just kidding. It goes both ways. There's so much confusion in our world about who Jesus is. In the midst of difficulty and pain and problems and pressure, let's be the ones that point to him. Let's be the ones that clarify what's been heard about Jesus. Here's the big idea, church. We're going to invite everybody we know to meet Jesus. Everybody that we know to see who he is and that he's a God who restores, redeems, and raises dead things to life. But here's the thing. What does he restore? He restores your eyes. He restores how you see. Your life. He redeems your condition. And he raises dead things to life. That's the salvation. That's your gospel moment. But here's the thing. So many people get stuck in restoration and redemption. And they've never really had that salvation moment where they fully come alive. There's people that sit in church all the time. Their perspective has been changed. They've had some behavior modification. They've changed their condition a little bit. But They've never fully received salvation. They come to church maybe every 4 or 6 weeks. They get a little fresh perspective, and then they go, and then their perspective gets skewed again. That condition starts to come back, and they're like, oh, I should maybe go to church again. 4 to 6 weeks later, they mosey on into their church, and then they're gone for maybe 4 to 6 weeks. This is the average church attender now. This is our world. And then they come back. And then the condition comes back. And then the perspective seems to shift again. Then, maybe I should go to church again. Maybe I should click on to the online experience again. You know what that is? That's not somebody that's walking in salvation and walking in the power of the gospel and the resurrection power of Christ. That's somebody that's treating church like a drug dealer. I'm going to go get my fix. Church, there's a lot riding on this week. There's a lot riding on this invitation. There's a lot. Not just so we could fill seats at 8, at the three worship experiences, at 8:30 and 10 and 11:30. That's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to fill seats. We're trying to depopulate hell. We're not just trying to say, oh, that was a nice experience. No, we're trying to change people's eternities, families' destinies. We're trying to change family trees here, break tradition. But we're trying to use tradition as a launching point. You know why? Because there's tons of families that have always gone to church on Easter and they're looking for a place because grandma and aunt so-and-so used to always take them to church. And grandma ain't around no more. And aunt so-and-so moved on. And now they have kids. Or now they're married. Or now they're thinking, you know what? We need to go to church before our ham and deviled eggs, mac and cheese. We should probably take the kids to church. What do you think? Oh, we don't have anywhere to go. Oh, you know what? Thank goodness we got that invite. Maybe we should go. I bumped into that tall guy at the grocery store. Or I bumped into that nice lady that works at Aldi. Thank goodness they handed me that invite. Let's transition here. Luke 7. John the Baptist. Remember, he had one job, right? One job. What was it? Point to Jesus. That's his one job. One job. Let's set up the context here a little bit. John the Baptist is in prison. He's locked up. They won't let him out. Anybody else think about singing a song there? He's locked up. They won't let him out. I'm an early 2000s kid. Anyways, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but it's okay. I am who I am. If there was anybody in the whole world who knew who Jesus was, it was John the Baptist. Jesus' cousin, his family, right? John's a rough guy. He ate bugs. Any of you ever ate bugs? Like willingly? Like what kind? We talking like chocolate covered like crickets or something? Grasshoppers? Anybody else bugs? Jeremy, what kind of bugs do you eat? Scorpion. That sounds disgusting. Great. Thanks for sharing. Anybody else bugs? Bug eaters? Lucy. Little sweet Lucy, bug eater. Some of the moms in the room are like, yeah, my kids eat bugs. My kids eat bugs. John's God-ordained purpose was to be a forerunner for God, for Jesus, the Messiah. That was his ordained purpose. Plus, he knew it. He accepted it. He held tightly to it. He had many opportunities to declare publicly that Jesus was the sent one, the Messiah. So while John was locked up, Jesus was out healing people, caring for the Gentiles. That happened in Luke 7, 1 through 17. But we're going to pick up later in the story. Verse 18. Remember now, John's in prison. And I want you to think about that you know some people that have been locked up for a long time. Not physically, but spiritually. Some of you know people that have been locked up physically. Put some money on the books for them. The disciples of John the Baptist told John about everything Jesus was doing. So John called for two of his disciples, and he sent them to the Lord to ask him, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else?" So John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him, "Hey, John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" When our circumstances aren't what we expect or desire, sometimes it's difficult for us to see Jesus. Listen, there are many things in our life that are like this. There's people in our life right now that need to be reassured who Jesus is. Something's got them stuck. Something's got their perspective off. Something's got them not looking clearly. Could John have possibly been thinking, "Hey, Jesus, why don't you do something more? Jesus, why don't you do something for me? Why don't you do something political here?" Let's go to verse 21. "At that very time, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, their illnesses, the evil spirits, and he restored sight to many who were blind. Then he told John's disciples, 'Go back to John and tell him that you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor.' And he added, 'God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. Go from here today and tell others what you have seen and heard.'" Not what Jesus was, but who Jesus is. Don't just go here from today and say, "Hey, my pastor said I need to hand this to you. I'm just doing it." Share real life stuff. Share what God's done in your life. Maybe he didn't do it today. Maybe he did it before. Maybe he's doing it currently. But share what you've seen and what you've heard. You've all learned how to play show and tell. If you didn't grow up going to a school that had show and tell, I'll pray for you. That's horrible. I remember not being able to sleep the night before show and tell. That was like a big day. Show and tell was legit. That was the best. Now this is like adult. This is go and tell. Go and tell is fun. Thank you, Levi, for picking up my invitation. It's go and tell time. go and tell is exciting. Go and tell people in your life what you've seen and heard. The transformation. This is what freedom looks like. The lives that have been changed and transformed. Your life that's been changed and transformed. Maybe it's in the process. There may be people that are confused, that are doubting, and not sure who He is. He's still in the business of helping the blind see, helping the lame walk, helping the deaf hear, bringing the dead to life, and helping the poor hear the good news. He's still in the business of fulfilling all the promises that were spoken over Him in Isaiah. All of these things were spoken that Jesus would fulfill. He fulfilled them. He's still doing it today. Our job at Bridge City Church is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Jesus didn't die on the cross to make you comfortable. Those out there that are afflicted, we're going to bring them in, make them comfortable. And once they get comfortable, hey, it's time to change some things. Because the Holy Spirit's going to move in their life. Our role is to go out and get those that have been hurt by life circumstances, that have never heard of Jesus, that have questions about Him, and help to answer them through our life experiences with Him. Bring them to His house. Come and see. Come and see. Come and hear what I've seen and heard. It's go and tell time. Come and see, go and tell. We will invite everyone that we know to meet Jesus, that He is the one that restores my vision and my direction, gives us eyes to see and ears to hear. Matthew 13, 14 through 16. Eyes to see, ears to hear. Let people experience Him. You don't have to do it all. These were both physical realities and spiritually symbolic of what Jesus came to do. Church, we've all had personal experiences of His presence. Some of us have been physically healed. Some of us have been emotionally healed. Some of us have been spiritually healed. Some of us currently, some of us in the past, some of us right now. But we've all seen, heard, and experienced Him in a real way. Go and tell what Jesus has been doing, both physically and spiritually, in His house. Go and tell what He's done in your life. People can debate theology, but they can't debate a changed and transformed life. They can't. Try to prove me wrong. They can't. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Church, if you're in this place, I hope that you know that you have a future and a hope. I hope you know that He has plans for you. I hope you know that He wants to prosper you, that He wants to move you forward. You have an inkling of that. But people outside these walls have no idea. You may think, I have nothing to give away. you've heard, at least you just may have heard this verse for the first time. Go and give it away. Take a picture of the screen. Hey, this is weird for me, but you got to come and see this. Oh, I don't have dress clothes. You should see what the pastor was wearing. He had J's on. Oh, I don't feel comfortable. These seats are comfy. I don't like pews. Well, great. They ain't got them. You went to church and the ceiling didn't fall in? Nope. Well, there's this one tile that's right above the air conditioner, keeps leaking. But other than that, you mean it didn't catch on fire? Nope. All these Mon Valley lies that people hear. How many times you come to church with me? Oh, no, it'll fall in. All right, well, let's try it out. It's a steel building, freestanding. You should see these beams. It's not going anywhere. Power went out once. They just kept singing. Church, we need to be broken for what breaks God's heart. And it's people. Oh, it's uncomfortable to invite people. Oh, I know, I get it. That breaks God's heart that you're uncomfortable. No, said no pastor ever. God wants you to be uncomfortable. You know who else was uncomfortable? Jesus on the cross. That didn't look like a comfortable, it doesn't sound comfortable. The crown of thorns doesn't sound comfortable. Step out in faith and invite. We got three. Listen, I know what you're thinking about the three worship times. I know, I'm with you. I know what you're thinking. We got to switch times. I know exactly what you're thinking. I'm with you. How dare we only have three? I'm with you. I'm thinking the exact same thing. How dare we? That's what God's thinking. Our heart needs a break from what breaks God's heart. How dare we only have three? We need to be uncomfortable for what breaks God's heart. I'm so glad someone told me about Jesus. I'm so glad my wife's family said, come and see. I'm so happy they had enough faith to invite this scared, broken, depressed little Serbian boy to come and see. The first time was to go and pray over a house that I painted because my father-in-law had a dream to rebuild McKeesport. He's full of faith. He was buying houses to rebuild McKeesport. He was renovating them. He said, hey, Nick, he knew I needed a job. He said, Nick, you want to pray over this house? You want to paint this house? Can you paint? I was like, yeah, sure. I'll pay you. I said, yeah, absolutely. I can paint. I couldn't paint. He was paying me hourly, too. I could not paint. But when you need a job, you can do whatever. Do you know Excel? Oh, I'm proficient. And when we were done with the house, he said, hey, Nick, we're going to pray over the house before somebody moves in. You want to come? I said, yeah, absolutely. We prayed over the house. He said, do you want to come to church on Sunday? I said, yep. Nate was leading worship. I'll never forget. I didn't know how to worship. I just prayed the whole time. My mother-in-law was speaking in tongues. I thought she was having a stroke. I said, Rach, what's wrong with your mom? She said nothing. I was like, get her. There's something wrong with her. I still say that now. We're still trying to figure it out. She loves me with all her heart. All her heart, she loves me. I'll never forget saying to Deb, I said, Deb, I'm running out of stuff to pray for during worship. What do I don't know what else to do. And she taught me how to worship. All because they had enough faith to say, come and see. They have enough faith to invite somebody. Don't say no for them. Oh, they don't have enough time. They're too busy. Have enough faith. Be a representative of faith for them. Be an ambassador of Christ. Wave the flag. Don't allow for fear to get in the way of faith. He is the one who redeems my past and puts us into a healthy community. The lame will walk and lepers are healed. He frees us and keeps us from getting stuck. The lame will walk. Again, Jesus literally heals these things. A lot of people find themselves stuck from time to time. They do. Like quicksand. The more you struggle, the deeper you get. You know, as a kid, I thought quicksand was going to be a way bigger problem than it is. But in reality, quicksand's a real thing. Not physically, but emotionally, spiritually, financially. It's a real thing. But DuckTales would make you think it's everywhere as a kid. Tailspin. All those things. You'd think walking through the woods, quicksand's everywhere. But spiritually, it is. Many people are habitually and generationally stuck. But Jesus wants to help those people get motivated and mobilized to move forward in their lives. And how's he going to do it? By using you all to say three words. Anybody know what they are? How are you going to do it?
Go and tell.
Six words. That's all you got to remember today. Six words. You think we could do them together? Let's do it. Come and see, go and tell. Let's see.
Come and see, go and tell.
Oh my goodness. I was going to say I felt like I died and went to heaven, but that's not it. I'm not there yet. I'd rather be here with you all right now. I'll go to heaven one day. Can't wait to get there. But for now, it's good. We're experiencing heaven on earth. It's what we're called to do. So where are you stuck? Where are you halted? Where does Jesus need to get you motivated and mobilized to get out of? Because he still wants to free you from stuff too. Jesus wants to get you unstuck so you can get others unstuck and then they can get others unstuck. See, it continues to work as it did for the early disciples. Then he restores people and puts them in healthy community. Let's talk about these lepers. Lepers was a catch-all term for a number of skin diseases. Unclean. It smelled bad. They were the outcasts of society. It was a debilitating, degrading, painful disease. If you saw a leper, you had to point at them and scream, unclean. If someone saw you touch a leper, they had to point at you and then scream, unclean, because you got it. Sounds like COVID. Seriously, but imagine this. Unclean, unclean, how degrading. But we still have lepers in our lives today. I want you to think, who are the lepers in your life? Who are the lepers in your family? I mean, you're not walking around Giant Eagle or Walmart or Aldi thinking, unclean, unclean, but you want to sometimes. But who are those people? Who are the people that our society have labeled as the outcast? As the smelly kid? Those are the ones we're going after. Who's the drunk? Who's the addict? Who's the womanizer? Who's the one that you would think never would belong in church? You know, since the day that the White Oak campus was going to become a thing, I've been praying that it would be made up of people that by the world's standards, they would look at them and say, that person doesn't belong in church. You know why? Because that's who Jesus hung out with. Jesus died for all of us. Who's that person in your life? Who's the leper? Go after them. No, I don't have any people like that in my life. Yeah, spiritually speaking, you may. Who's that one? Who's that one that talks like a sailor? I can't wait. I love when people still swear and they come to church. I love it. The day I stop hanging around people that feel like they have to apologize for swearing around me is the day I'm hanging around the wrong people. Because I need to be around people that are constantly in need of transformation. Who are the lepers in your life? There's so many people around us that want community, that need cleanse, that need Jesus to change and transform them. He's the one that raises dead things back to life. Doesn't put them on life support. Doesn't give them a little hit of oxygen so that, no. Death to life. Lame, walk. Unclean, healed. Outcast into community. Restored, redeemed, alive. That's who we're inviting. Church, you may be here today. You may be someone who was invited and you're like, man, I came a week early. Nope, you came right on time. You may be someone that's here today. This is your first week. Welcome. You may be someone here today like, I'm that person that was treating church like a drug dealer. Just coming to get my fix every once in a while. Yeah, I had my vision fixed. I started to see things differently. You know, I had some behavior modification. I changed some things. But I've never had that moment where I felt fully alive and received what Jesus did on the cross. never had that moment where salvation was mine, where I fully received the gospel. Today could be your day. I want today to be your day. And there are people here that are ready to pray for you, to walk you through the gospel, to celebrate with you, to help you go from death to life, to stop just getting your fix every once in a while. It's not about behavior modification. It's about being radically transformed by the gospel. Jesus doesn't just put some new paint on the walls. He rips it down and rebuilds. If you're here today and you need Jesus to become the forgiver of your past, leader of your future, I want you to do something so simple yet so profound. And just slip your hand up to heaven and say, Jesus, that's me. I need to be fully restored, fully redeemed, and allow for you to bring this once dead thing back to life. See that hand? Anyone else today? If you have your hand up, there, somebody's going to come pray with you, encourage you, equip you. Anyone else today? Amen. I see that hand. Heaven's rejoicing. Anyone else today? Father God, I thank you so much for restoration. I thank you so much for the opportunity we have to go outside of these walls and share who you are and who we get to be because of you. Lord, I thank you so much that next week, next Sunday, we get to celebrate the resurrection in this place. And the fact that the tomb will be empty. And it'll be continue to be empty. We get to walk in the power of the resurrection. Lord, may this place be full of people that need to hear the good news of the gospel. Use the people in this place to go out and tell people about you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.